It's not about me. I'm only here for a minute, and I know that I can't fix it. I can help even just a little bit. Won't you let me try?
Hello, welcome to Laz and Powers. This is Scott Powers and Mark Lazarus. We're a special edition of our podcast. Today we're here at the Blackhawks announced Luke Richardson as their head coach, and we're downtown in the fancy Blackhawks store. We're actually above the Blackhawks store.
This looks like the room that like Winthorpe hung out in Trading Places. I mean, this is like, you know, fancy fine leather furniture. This is a nice joint.
Places I'm not allowed to be in.
Do you remember the 2013 playoffs? Or it might have been 2013 or 2014. It was during one of the Kings conference finals, and we had a meeting. We had a media availability at the Beverly Wilshire.
Oh yeah, then we weren't allowed to stay.
And they wouldn't let us even stay in the lobby to tweet out quotes.
I remember it was like a Lamborghini outside.
Yeah, the hotel staff was like shooing us out because we were wearing jeans.
Yeah, I don't know if those. They just knew that we weren't supposed to be there.
We clearly did not belong at the Beverly Hilton. That's how I feel in this room right now. Like someone's going to give us the bums rush.
Yeah, that probably will happen soon. We should probably wrap it up. But we were fortunate enough to have Luke Richardson on the podcast here for bits, and he was introduced and he talked for, you know, him and Kyle Davidson talked for about 30 minutes, and obviously we've talked about this position coming into it, how unique it is. Knowing probably that you're not expected to win, probably not expected to win.
Not wanting. They don't want you to win.
Not to win for a few years. So, I think he's got to manage that question, knowing that, you can't promise anything that you're going to win right away, but also knowing that, the natural impulse is, as long as Cannon Taves and everyone's here, they want to win games.
Yeah, when we asked him about that, because, I mean, I think this is a guy who played 21 years in the NHL, and everyone we talked to about him says he's, like, hyper, hyper competitive. You don't just suddenly flip a switch in your brain and suddenly, no, I'm here for the process and the long term. He wants to win. And I think he's going to be more in that Taves and Kane camp where all last year Taves and Kane were like, you know, it doesn't have to take that long. It could take a year or two. You could bounce back quicker. Look at Colorado. I think that's going to be a mentality. It's going to be a little push and pull there
between management and the team. Like, everyone can say that now, but a week from now, DeBrincat or Strom or Cooper Week, this team.
And depending on what goalies they have.
Yeah, this team could feel a lot different than the optimism could be drained from them pretty quickly, you know?
But I think you're never going to convince a player. No. You know, I did a story a few years ago. I remember I was in Winnipeg and I was talking to Marcus Kruger after morning. Remember we used to go into locker rooms? That was nice.
I miss Marcus Kruger.
Talking to Marcus Kruger of all people. I'm trying to write a story about tanking because the Hawks were kind of getting into that mode. And, you know, it's a difficult line to walk where, you know, the premise of the story was players don't tank and they don't even like the idea of it and it's offensive to them. But when you ask a player about tanking, he's hearing it. It's like, are you trying to lose? And like, that's not what I was saying. Marcus was like, I'm not trying to lose. And he got like mad at me. It was like you get that little fire that Kruger had. It was interesting to hear because like, no matter what things look like on October 11th, whenever opening day is going to be, those guys are out there trying to win.
Yeah,
you're competing for jobs, especially young players. You're competing to prove you belong, and you do that by winning. And Luke Richardson's not here to lose. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic, that push and pull, where the team wants you to kind of lose for a year or two.
Yeah. It's a front office's job to make them lose, right?
No, it's reasonable on both sides.
Yeah, right. And it's a team's job to win a win game. So, yeah, there's this push and pull, but it'll be interesting to see how depleted the team is to create. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the top shelf on the Blackhawks team store just to the right of Richardson was Dylan Strome and Calvin DeHaan t-shirts. So
when you walk in, there's like Colin Delia.
Yeah,
like
Colin Delia was the big display case.
A lot of changes coming in this team store. So, yeah.
So they still got a lot of Taves and Kane jerseys out there, obviously. But if you want a Dylan Strome shirt, it's probably going to be on sale in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, just wait. We wait a few weeks, probably.
So let's get right into our interview here because we got to do some writing. We are joined by Luke Richardson, new Blackhawks head coach. We're joined by new Blackhawks head coach, Luke Richardson. How does that sound?
It's still surreal, but it's so exciting. I'm just thrilled today.
What was your perspective on the Blackhawks just as an outsider last year? Obviously, you know, you guys were going through your own stuff in Montreal, but what was the perspective on this team from the outside?
As soon as you think of the Chicago Blackhawks, you think of, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, and then the Seth Jones to me coming in here was a huge move. He's the number one defenseman in this league, and and I think with what we had going on in Montreal, it seemed very similar over here. Expectations were higher than what the product on the ice was delivering, and frustration sets in. things kind of fall apart. And, you know, then teams will start trading because they realize, okay, it's not working. We're going to have to almost start over here and build up. So, you know, you trade like a guy like Fleury and get the best assets that you can. And you know, very similar to what we went through in Montreal. So I kind of felt that pain. But you know what? They have the right attitude. It seems like coming here just over the last few weeks, meeting people, a lot of people are new with a hockey experience or with really good business experience. And same thing, you know, I mean, in management and now coaching staff and even some players that are going to be newer and younger. And I think they really want that relationship to grow together. And they have a good plan for that. And I'm really feeling honored to be a part of it.
In a lot of ways, I know the Blackhawks felt some pain this year, but not having the first round pick, it feels like there's going to be probably some more pain in the next couple of years. And there's a lot of talk about, you know, I know that tanking is not a word that, you know, coaches or players will use, but that if they align themselves with one of those top three picks next season that are all supposed to be, you know, sort of generational talents, how do you manage that as a coach and coming into this job knowing that one of the paths forward is rebuilding is, you know, trying to, you know, attain as many high-end prospects. And obviously the easiest way to do that is through drafting, you know, having a top draft.
Yeah, they've alluded to that. That's the plan, is building through the draft and, you know, really having a, you know, stereotypical when you look at, you know, the special players like in the league that are big rangy defensemen that can move pucks and like defend quick and, you know, I mean, use their range and physicality. I think that's something that's kind of a priority, but you don't know what's available. You can't promise that. You have to look for it, try and find it somewhere. You know, that's something that it's definitely speed down the middle is always a good thing in this league. And, you know, I know next year is supposed to be a big draft. Priority to getting a first rounder this year. I know it still is for them, but I agree with Kyle. When you force things, you know, in the long run, don't really work out. So you have to make sure something fits. You know, I'm sure they're working consistently every day to try and find that fit and try and find a high pick this year, as well as next year, looking ahead. And yeah, sure, we're gonna have some, you know, growing pains and some building blocks next year, but. You know, for me, I'm an optimist and I think my plan of how the culture is alone, not even figuring out the total systems yet, because we got to figure out what the lineup is first. It works. And, you know, I mean, the NHL is tough though. And I think we're going to be competitive every night. Does that result in wins every night? It doesn't. It depends who you play. It depends if you get the bounce or if you get the call. And if you have the execution, is it going to be there yet? That's hard to tell. You know what I mean? But we're going to definitely work at it every day and, you know, try and make it as difficult as we can for management to hold us back, which they're not going to because they're as competitive as me. It's just that, you know, I'm sure everybody's looking at their chops, everybody I talk to about next year's draft and the top picks. But once you get into an NHL season, you really, especially at the beginning, there's so much excitement. You want to do well, get off to a good start. And I think that's what our focus is on.
Taves and Kane throughout last season were kind of stubbornly clinging to this doesn't have to take 4 or 5 years. We could turn this around right away. We got talent. And you were in the league for 20 years. I mean, you're wired that way too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Do you almost have to recalibrate yourself as a coach a little bit to, you still want that, but you understand that might not be the best long-term interest of the team?
Yeah, no, and I think you can still stick to your plan. But like I said, things change quick in this league. You can move up quick and move down quick, just as quick. So you have to watch that you
build. Colorado was 48 points.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then there's other teams, even like us in Montreal, with players retiring or players being injured and then COVID unfortunately setting in. All of a sudden you're at the top and you're in the finals and then your first overall pick the next year. It comes stumbling down fast and it's hard to stop it. So I think the culture and the style that I want to create is the when we hit a lower, we have a bad game, I don't want it to drag on like this. I want it to go back up quickly and then kind of maintain it. How high and long can we push that line when we're doing well? And then because everybody's going to come down again, but we don't come down as far and not as long, and we move up again. And I just would like that mentality to be the guys. They strive for the next day if things don't go our way that night. And if we can create that mentality, again, it's going to take a while to get results in the win columns, But you know, I mean, I'm competitive, and I want that to flow through to the players. I'm sure they're all competitive, but feel comfortable to express that they're competitive. And you know, I mean, is it going to be 3-4 years? If we're lucky, maybe it is. But if it's, you know, 4 or 5 years or whatever it is, it might be. And I think, you know, Colorado, if you asked them a few years ago and Joe Sakic kept level-headed, he didn't trade Langeskog, he didn't trade McKinnon, he didn't, you know, I mean, he built his team the way he thought he should build it. He's got a calm, precise plan. And sure, got a little bit lucky. You know, you got Kale McCarr, I think he was a second-round pick or first-round pick. And
like Ottawa's pick.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, from the Duchesne?
Yeah.
Okay. And like you get one of those, you find one of those. There's players coming out every year, and it's not just the Bedards. Like, they're there, but there is other players that are going to be there that maybe people haven't heard of. And even this year, the second pick, or the guy is kind of flipping with right. Is it Sofkasi?
Yeah.
Like I ran into Drake Batherson in Ottawa, and he played against him in the World Championships. He was so impressed. He's like, he's big, strong, can really shoot the puck, and like impressed. So there's going to be guys that really people don't really know as much as the other hyped up guys. And that's, I think that's what we got to hope to find in the draft in the next few years.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
It's obviously been a very difficult last 15 months or so off the ice with the Blackhawks, with the Kyle Beach situation and everything. Did that give you any pause, or did you see an opportunity to really kind of make a culture in your own vision with that opportunity?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the organization has handled that situation as best they could. It seems like they have new regime in here now. They've made changes, and they want to move forward with a new direction with new people. And Kyle's added to his staff and brought some really great people in here. And I feel blessed to be a part of that. And it's a new start. And I can't wait to be a part of that and start building. And it's going to be tough. It's a lot of hard work. But I like a challenge. So
you talk about not knowing who's going to be on the team, how it's going to affect your on-ice kind of man system or however. But do you have any general philosophies about, I guess having covered this team the last couple of years, there was more of a man-to-man where, you saw defensemen kind of flying around the zone and Derek King kind of putting them more around the net and protecting the house. Do you have any, general philosophies about how you want to defend?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it's really hard to play man-to-man in this league with, if you can't give a little hook or hold or tug when I used to play, you get away with that. It's hard because the guys are so quick and skilled and strong too. Like McKinnon, not only is he fast, but he can spin off and just like toss you with one arm and go. Like Crosby's very similar. And, I kind of like, a zone defense, but I like it, but I have to see who we have. But the biggest thing for me, it all starts in the other end, neutral zone. If we can have good gaps and a good F3 with a backtrack from our forwards to put pressure, so there's not a lot of lateral movement from the puck or forwards coming at you that pushes your D back. If we can really be gapped up, attack guys on entry or even prior to entry, and force them to dump it into our goaltender, and hopefully we get that puck and get it out quick, or turn pucks over with skilled players trying to really stubborn on laying pucks in, turning pucks over, and then having the puck more in our possession. If we can have the puck more in our possession, we're going to have to defend less. And again, I mentioned earlier, we have more energy to play offense. And we're not playing defense in our zone for a minute or 80 seconds, exhausted, lucky that we got out of it, dump it out, change five guys, and they get the puck back. They're coming at us again, so the next five guys got to deal with it again. That's not a way to play hockey. That I think you got to play fast, aggressive hockey. And like for me, I don't even mind. Like if we have a good gap and we have a good F3, and they're coming out on their left wing. I don't mind our left D flying right across, and the other D knows, and we practice this, and he backs off, and then that's killed. All the guy could do is dump it in, dump it shallowly because it's before the red line. Can't ice it. We either get an icing or we get the puck back at our blue line. We're all together because we're tracking hard. We have five guys working together. We're going back on the offense. So flip the coin on them, not on us. Like, you know, that's the way I
think. This is the NHL. You're not allowed to discuss X's and O's with reporters. So thank you. Appreciate that.
I didn't say X. I didn't say O.
We don't get that kind of, I appreciate it. We don't get that level of detail usually. Taves and Kane are entering the last year of their contracts here. What's your message to them? I know you haven't talked to them yet, but what will be the message? How do you get them to buy in both this year and potentially long-term?
Well, you know, I mean, coach, I just always take myself outside of the contract conversation. It's not my job. I definitely understand where position they're in, but that's not something I focus on as a coach. But for me, first and foremost, the conversation with them is that I'm excited to work with them. I'm not like a dictator. I love feedback, but at the end of the day, the coach is the coach. And if we haven't ironed this out today, we still have to play the game plan. And that's everybody. I have to reprimand young guys for not doing things properly and correct them. I have to do the same thing to you guys. Obviously, those guys get leeway in certain areas, and they have to manage the game, the time, who they're on the ice against. If they're that veteran, and they are, and they're great-minded, they should see that, and they have to recognize that. So is there a time for Patrick Kane to really dance and stuff? There's going to be times where, yeah, like if we have a delayed penalty, that's the guy that's going out for the goaltender, and he's going to be the best player on the ice, and he's going to be able to make special plays. The end of a game, if it's a 6-on-5 and we need a goal, you know, I mean, we're setting up plays on face-off offensive zone face-offs, maybe a quick change. If it's a D-zone face-off, maybe a quick change, and as the goalie comes, he pops out and try and spring him. You know, I mean, that's where he does his best work. End of a game, maybe a young guy's having struggle in the first half of the game, and it's not his night, someone gets hurt, those are the guys that I'm going to give the first opportunity to, just because they've earned it, to be that, get that extra ice time, get that double shift or something like that. But in the same respect, if it's a night that you're frustrated and you're showing bad body language, or you're not, and they're not buying in, or they're just frustrated or something, well, I got to deal with you the same as I do with the other guys, or you lose respect from everybody, and everybody sees it.
Well, you just spend the next 10 days just begging Kyle not to trade Alex DeBrincat. Is that the next step?
Hey, I love the way the guy plays. I've always noticed him. And this year, what a special year. And I watched some video, and I was watching. Not only does he, like, he really score goals.
He's a two-way player now. Yeah.
But he tracks hard. And, man, he's feisty. He's feisty in front of the net. He doesn't back down. And he's part of he's into the game. And he's the type of guy that I feel drags other people into that fight. And those guys, you love those guys. So, again, I don't deal with contracts, but if he's here, I can't wait to work with him. And I love how he played from afar. So usually those guys, when you love them from afar, they're so good that you really get to see the details in their game when you're with them, and you love them even more. Like a Corey Perry, I can't tell you enough about that guy. You knew he was great, one of the best
Blackhawks fan favorite too. Let me tell you, they love Corey Perry.
I'm sure they do. They would if he came here. Let me tell you. There's no, like, what a tough run for him. Like, yeah. 3 years in a row, the Stanley Cup final. He's so competitive. Days off, we told the guys we don't even, in the playoffs, semifinal, we don't even want to see guys at the ice. He's there. He's riding the bike. He's got those blow up things on his legs that flush out. He does everything to. If you're talking about squeezing the last drop out of a lemon, that's Corey Perry.
All right. Well, I know you got about a million people to meet here. So I got to be wined and dined for the next probably rest of the week here.
Hey, and looking for a house to live. That's the next
minor detail.
Minor detail.
So it's quite a housing market out there. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Act fast. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Luke. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
And I know that I can't fix it. I can help even just a little bit. Won't you let me try?
Hello, welcome to our Laz and Powers. This is Scott Powers with Mark Lazarus. We're the special edition of the podcast. The Blackhawks announced Luke Richardson as our head coach today, and we're live from the Blackhawks store.
We're in some fancy room above the Blackhawks store. I don't know what's going on here. I expect to be waited on hand and foot while we're here. Can you imagine the rent on this place? I mean, being right on the river. Thanks, Kyle. There's Kyle Davidson, just joined the podcast very briefly. There's Jamie Faulkner joining the podcast. There's Danny Wirtz. Everyone, join the podcast. Come on down.
It's not about it. We're going to do the song and then...